This week on the Time Bat Show.
The laser beam razor blade, right? It was supposed to shave your face with lasers?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What? Let's go with it.
All right, we're going with that one. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 36, I want to say. I'm forgetting.
37.
37. Really? Is it 37?
It's 37.
Oh, my God. I thought it was 36 the longest time. I'm Time Asus.
And I'm Batsnack.
And we have a special guest today, returning guest, our first returning guest ever of the show, Gio. Gio is here with us today. Hello, Gio. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for agreeing to come back.
Oh, anytime.
We had a lot of fun last time, so we figured we'd have another run at humiliating you. No,
yeah, that was a blast. I have a better microphone this time, and I'm connected to a wired connection. So,
oh, nice. You're like all ready to go.
I prepared for this podcast.
You've upgraded just for us.
No, 100% just for you.
It was all for us. So how's everyone doing today? Anything exciting going on with in the lives of you folks?
I'm doing pretty good. I ate a chicken burrito today. That was the highlight of my day.
We're really getting into the good stuff.
I always have something really, really, you know, interesting to say right at the start.
So I have, like, a really funny thing that happened to me, like, right before we started recording this episode. So I came home today from work, and I had a package in the mail, and I had bought a replacement watch strap for my watch, because my watch strap, like, broke. It's like one of those, you know, like the rubber ones that come with watches. They just kind of wear out over the course of a while.
Yeah.
So mine broke. So I was like, I need a new watch strap.
Wait, you can just order watch straps off the internet?
Yeah, you can get new watch straps off the internet.
Are they like a one size fits all, or do you have to know the right size?
They are. So you need to know the width of your watch, like where the width of what the straps on your watch are. But most of them are just one size fits all.
Okay, because I have a great watch, but an awful watch band. And now that you have alerted me to this being a thing.
Do that.
I'm gonna.
The thing is, like, a lot of watches come with terrible, terrible bands. Like, the rubber ones. Like, I don't really like the rubber ones. They don't feel very good. If you take them in the shower, they get all wet and gross.
Mm-hmm.
If you get them wet and stuff. So I found some bands online, and they're, like, nice, like, half nylon, half cotton kind of thing, like a breathable thing. So I was like, I'm doing that. So I bought this on the internet. It came today, and I was like excited, and I had like 15 minutes before we were supposed to start recording. So I was like, all right, I'm going to really quickly replace my watch band, you know? So my current watch band is rubber, and part of it, like the one half is broken off and the other half is not. So I had to basically rip off the rest of the other strap because I needed to completely remove it. Problem is, there's like this little pin in the watch that keeps the band basically on. The band I bought, the new one, comes with this like tool, this metal tool that you're supposed to like stick in between the nub of the watch and like the pin to like unhook the pin and like take the whole band off.
Mm-hmm.
Which theoretically should work pretty well. It's similar to like, I don't know, it's a really, really small tool. It's really thin. You know, all like watch tools are really small. So like theoretically it's like, okay, this is something I can do totally. And I was like, you know, it should take you like 5-10 minutes. And I was like, I have plenty of time. I'm going to do this. No problem. The problem being that like the pin that I was trying to replace was already halfway showing because the band had eroded like around the pin. So I misinterpreted the directions as you're supposed to like put the tool in the middle of the pin and push down, and what you're actually supposed to do is like put it like up against the wall of the watch to like basically pry it out, if you will. And so I was doing that, and I was trying for like 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, to try to like push the pin out with this little bitty tool, and I finally figured out I was doing it wrong, and I realized only had like 5 minutes left before I had to do the show. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this really, really fast. So what I do is I stick the thing in to the correct pin, and I push it down, and it comes out, like, perfectly. And I was like, that was super easy. All right, move on to the next one. I have, like, 3 minutes left. I can do... Let me at least get the band off, and then I'll do the podcast, and I'll put the new band on later. So I stick it in. Unfortunately, this one, the band is around the pin, so I have no visual identification for where the pin is. So I, like, stick it in the side of the pin, and I can't, like, find... Or in the side of the band, and I can't find the pin. I'm kind of rooting around in there. And in my excited exasperation, I guess you could call it, I, like... really ram the tool through the band, and unfortunately my finger is directly behind the band, so I have totally stabbed myself with this small intricate watch band replacement tool, and I stabbed myself enough to draw blood, which was pretty hilarious to me. And after, like, I was really mad at myself for like 5 minutes, I was like, wow, this is like the most me thing that I could possibly do. Because I do this to myself all the time. Like, if I have a tool that is supposed to be used in an obvious, clear, well-designed way, I will find a way to injure myself with it. And I did. So that's my story of what happened to me.
Yeah, you're not alone. Right, I got that. I ordered the Breath of the Wild Collector's Edition when that came out, and I decided to open it using scissors. Mm-hmm. And rather than, you know, grabbing a knife, I use the scissors, which are too dull, and I end up scraping, and I still have a scar on my thumb.
Oh my god,
from trying to open a darn box for a video game.
You were probably really excited at the same time. Super too. Super excited. So what you're like, I need to do this really fast.
I could find, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I need to do this really fast, which causes you just panic, and you just like, yeah. Well, it's a scar you'll always remember.
Hopefully it goes away, but it's been
This is my Legend of Zelda scar, or whatever.
Oh, right? That's not my first Zelda-related injury. Ocarina of Time came out, I was playing with my best friend, and he got stuck, I think, in the ice cavern. Mm-hmm. And my mom bought me the strategy guide as, like, a present, even though I didn't want it, because I'm like, I want to figure the game out on my own.
My own, yeah,
and sure. So my friend goes to grab the strategy guide to look up how to solve the dungeon, and I get mad at him and say, no, you're supposed to figure it out.
Like,
and
I don't need no strategy guide.
Right. And so we're both pulling on the opposite ends of the strategy guide. He's bigger and stronger than me. So I'm pulling with all my might. He lets go. I fly halfway across the room, land on my foot, like, sideways.
Ow.
Turns out I broke my foot fighting over Ocarina of Time's strategy guide.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah. That is the one and only broken bone I've ever had as well.
And that's when Zelda became your favorite series of all
time. 100% on that day. I broke a bone for Zelda.
I feel like other people would be like, I hate Zelda now because I broke a foot. But it just increased your love of the series.
Absolutely.
Instead. Just like, I would be injured for this series.
Yep.
Wow, that's really funny. I've never had a strategy guide related injury before.
No, neither have I.
I don't think I will ever meet anyone who has ever had a strategy guide related injury.
I'm trying to think about a video game related injury. I bet I have, but I just forget what it is.
It's just double embarrassing. That's my one and only broken bone was over a video game.
Right,
and you're like not falling out of a tree, not, you know, slamming my hand in a car door. No, a video game.
So how'd you break your bone? It's like, well, I really didn't want to use the strategy guide, and there it is. That's what happened. I'm trying to think if I had any video game related injuries, but I can't think of anything.
No one does. I'm the only one.
Bats, have you had any video game injuries?
I don't think I do, and I've played stuff. I mean, we've even played stuff like Rock Band and, you know, DDR and, you know, physical games. I've still never injured myself, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either. The closest I would have gotten is like a pinched... Like, I could have pinched myself in, like, a controller or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to do that. No.
No one's broken a bone over a video game.
Yeah, broken bone is serious business.
Broken bone
That's
is
like...
pretty legit. The biggest I could think of is, like, if someone got really angry, they could, like, punch something when they got mad.
Yeah, throw and then a they controller
could break...
and it hits
Yeah,
someone,
they could maybe yeah. break their, like a knuckle or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, know. But, like, neither of us are really that kind of person that punch things over games.
That's true. What's the maddest you've ever gotten over a video game?
Off the top of my head, I've gotten pretty mad at DDR before, like playing on faulty pads that make input errors.
You're like, this is wrong. I know this is wrong. I got that point or whatever.
Yeah, but I'll usually just not play on that faulty equipment anymore.
But like, have you ever, like, been so mad that you had to, like, stop and, like, leave the room and, like, curse, like, you know, have you ever gotten that mad? Or has it just been like, oh, this just sucks?
Yeah, I mean, I usually just lose interest. Like, I don't get angry to the point where I stop at a certain point. It's just like, oh, this totally isn't worth it.
Have you ever gotten
I'll just quit the game. Like, I got Dead Cells recently, and it's kind of, it's a roguelike, so when you die, you lose a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after being in a room for an hour trying to make it through, and then you die and you lose everything, like, that's just frustrating and makes me angry, but I quit playing for... You just rage quit.
Yeah. I feel like I rage quit, like I used to be a really, like, reserved gamer. Like, I used to be like, oh, like, I'm cool with most things. Like, if something annoys me, I'll be like, oh, that was annoying. And then I'll just turn it off. But I feel like these days I'm, like, a lot more mad now because I only have so much time to play video games. So I'm I'm playing for 2 hours and I'm spending, like, an hour, like, banging my head against a wall, I'll get just really, really mad.
Just any loss of progression.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm playing for an hour and I just lost 20 minutes of that hour and I'll never get it back. Like,
and
no,
I think
thank you.
Another thing about me is, like, I used to get mad at the game, and now I get mad at the people who made the game. I'm like, why did you do this? Whose idea? Like, I'll yell at the TV. Like, whose idea was it to put this here? That was a terrible idea. Like, no one played this level, obviously, or something like that. Like, I'll yell at the game. Like, assuming that the people that made it could, like, hear me on the other end. Which would be pretty cool. But no. Yeah, I don't get super mad at games, but I will occasionally yell at them. When they annoy me. Speaking of video games, have you guys been playing anything recently? Good? Not really?
Nothing new.
Yeah, I'll take that as a no, then.
Yeah.
Silence.
Unless we want to talk about Portal 2 again.
So you replayed Portal 2?
Replaying it, but, I mean, that game's from 2011. I built my PC for that game, and I'm still using that same PC, yeah.
Wow, so it's like a throwback. Like, your PC's like, I remember
PC
this game.
Yep, exactly.
That's cool. What about movies? Anyone seen any good movies lately?
I saw a good movie last weekend, but I saw an even dumber movie the weekend before that.
Oh, tell us about both of them.
Well, last weekend I saw Wonder Woman, which is great. But
I haven't seen that yet, but I'm seeing it this
week. So I won't talk about it since you haven't seen it. But the weekend before that, I don't know if you care, but I saw the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Okay, first of all, why did you see the new
Well, it was Memorial Day weekend, and, you know, just looking to kill time, basically.
Sure, you're bored.
I was in town visiting friends and need an excuse to hang out, so we go see Pirates of the Caribbean. And so when I go to movies, like, one of the things that bothers me the most is other people talking, other people making noise, using cell phones, whatever.
Absolutely.
Like, it's super annoying.
Me too.
So I usually go to Alamo Drafthouse. Have you ever been to one?
Yeah, I go there exclusively, pretty much.
Basically. And I go there exclusively because if someone's being annoying or loud, like, they have a super strict policy on it. And you can just write on a little card that says, douchebag's being loud, you know, here, let me put the card up.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll warn the person, and then if they don't shut up, they'll kick them out of the theater. So, like, every experience I've ever had at an Alamo has been great because no one talks because no one wants to get kicked out. So we went to the Alamo, and the movie's fine. And then about 20 minutes in, Jack Sparrow makes his first appearance, and the guy sitting directly to my right laughs at every single word, every single gesture that Jack Sparrow does the duration of the entire movie. And he's not talking. He's not on his cell phone. He's just laughing. So I can't... Yeah.
You can't really say anything, kick him out. Like, this guy's enjoying this movie too much.
But he's enjoying it to my detriment.
Right.
And,
you're, like, annoyed that he's enjoying it too much.
It's not funny. Like, these are gags that were funny in 2003.
Right.
Like, this guy is cracking up that Jack Sparrow is drunk in a safe. Like, it's not funny.
Spoilers.
I mean, it's a little funny.
I'm just kidding. Maybe, like, he's never seen a Pirates of the Caribbean.
He's clearly a Pirates of the Caribbean fan. Like, he only laughed at Jack Sparrow stuff. So like
he's so he was like a Johnny ready Depp, for that.
Pirates of the Caribbean fan. Like he loves this character more than any other character ever.
And maybe he's like a super fan. Like he runs like the Pirates fan site.
He must. Or something. I don't like, know. He just he loved every minute, every unfunny minute
of the movie.
Oh, wow. And he would
You seem very angry.
I'm flustered because like the movie might have been okay, but I'll never know because he ruined it for me.
You're like, it wasn't that good. It wasn't as good as this guy thinks it is. It'll never live up to that guy's thoughts of what the movie was. So like, sure. How did you like the movie overall?
It was okay.
Try to separate the laughing man from the experience.
It was unnecessary.
Yes.
That's the best way I can put it. They wrap up a bunch of story lines from the last couple movies that didn't really need to be wrapped up. Like, they tie everything up in a bow for no reason.
Go ahead.
Well, they do the thing that Disney has been doing for, like, the last 2 years, where they de-age a character in the movie.
Oh, God.
And it's super off-putting, because it's, like, a 20-minute sequence of, like, 18-year-old Jack Sparrow.
So it's like a flashback?
Yeah. It's how Jack Sparrow became Captain Jack Sparrow, basically.
Does Johnny Depp play?
Yeah, yeah. But it's the
Johnny
same
Depp
like
plays 18-year-old Johnny Depp.
It's the de-aging CG
they use computers
that they used for like Ant-Man and if you saw Age of Ultron where they de-age Robert Downey
Super
Jr.
Super weird.
It's really off-putting, but like fortunately in all those movies it's like 30 seconds long.
It's brief.
This movie was like a 20-minute long sequence and it just they use it in Rogue One too if you've seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Just ugh.
Yeah, I don't like that. That would be awful to watch 20 minutes. I feel like I could, like, forgive it for, like, a minute. But then after that, it's like, all right.
Maybe it wasn't 20 minutes, but it felt like 20
minutes. It felt like 20 minutes. Like, each second was, like, a whole minute. Like, oh, God.
It stood out really bad.
Yeah. So, was Orlando Bloom in this movie?
Yeah.
Wow.
For, like, a minute at the beginning, and then, like... I said they tied up unnecessary plot lines from the other movies. One of those involved him, and he's just a cameo in the movie. Basically,
oh really? But, he's only a minor character. He hasn't been in anything lately. Have you guys noticed that?
I haven't seen him in any movies. The Hobbit trilogy.
Yeah, that was like 2 years. That wrapped up like 2 or 3 years ago.
That's true, but I mean that's still a relatively recent big movie.
I feel like Orlando Bloom's career like really. He peaked and then like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and his last two roles have been stuff he played in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Kind of same thing happened to Elijah Wood. I guess it's just the Lord of the Rings kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't follow their careers. They might be doing great stuff for all we know. Maybe
Elijah Wood starring in like some off Broadway thing and it's just like getting rave reviews everywhere. With Orlando Bloom, they're having like a two-man show or something. I don't know.
Yeah, on Broadway,
right? Off Broadway.
Off Broadway, right? On Broadway would be too mainstream.
No, that's way we would hear about that.
We would have heard about that. Yeah.
Maybe.
We would totally have heard about it.
I'm not into Broadway news. I don't know. We would know.
We would hear about it. If it was off Broadway, we might not. Although I feel like if it was off Broadway, we'd still hear about it because that's like. A fun story to run, you know, like, ooh, Elijah Wood and Orlando Bloom were doing an off-Broadway play together, you know.
Okay, I have sort of a question. Have either of you seen Fantastic Beasts?
Yes.
The Harry Potter extended universe movie?
No. Yes.
So this is kind of a weird question, but was Pirates better or worse than Fantastic Beasts?
Ooh.
I like to ask questions like this.
Ooh. I'm gonna say worse.
Okay.
Because Fantastic Beasts, I mean, that was still written by... Rowling. I don't know how to pronounce her last
name.
JK.
I think it's Rowling.
Who knows?
But she was heavily involved with that, and so it felt like a Harry Potter book, just, you know, in tone. So, like, at least it had that going for it. But, yeah, this is worse.
What are you fishing for here, Bats?
I don't know. That's the feeling I had about the movie, because I enjoyed Fantastic Beasts, even though it was it seemed really fan servicey and unnecessary.
Yeah. This but, is even more fan servicey and more unnecessary.
That's than Fantastic Beasts. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, they name drop stuff in Fantastic Beasts to be like, remember that?
Remember that from the other movie?
Yeah. And this has huge plot lines that tie up stuff from the other movies.
Is Davy Jones in this one?
Oh my god, I don't know if I can tell you that. Can I? That might be a spoiler.
I mean, it is a spoiler. I'm never going to see this movie, Gio.
I'm not going to see it.
I will. Okay, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Everybody turn off the podcast for 30 seconds if you don't want to know. But he's not in the movie. He's in the post-credits sequence.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wait,
you mean like after the credits, a major character shows up?
What? Orlando Bloom is cured of his curse. And he's in bed with Keira Knightley, and he has a nightmare, and Davy Jones appears above his bed.
What?
And he wakes up.
That is just awful.
And Davy Jones is gone, but there are barnacles on the floor, so was it real?
What the hell? So this is some, like, Fast and Furious shit going on here. Like, they're trying to, like, put everything... Oh, this is weird. I don't know
like,
how much I like
that. I said, they tied up plot lines in the movie to kind of, like, put a nice little bow on everything that happened in the other
Barbossa
movies.
In it? One
part? He's a major character in it. Okay. And he's really good. And one of the plot lines involves him and resolving his character arc.
This is wild. This is kind of wild.
It's super crazy because it's nothing but like resolving arcs from other movies that didn't need resolving.
This sounds like DLC. Like a
DLC the movie, 100%. Yeah.
Like, we didn't like how you finished that. And they're like, all right, here's an extra... Here's an extra content to make you happy with all the characters.
Absolutely. You know what they should do? They should get M. Night Shyamalan for the next Pirates movie and just break down all of the plot lines that they spent a whole movie in, like assembling.
Like make a twist out of everything?
Yeah, just break them all
open
again.
It was all in Johnny Depp's head or something.
That'd be great.
Or it all like flashes back to the... Remember the beginning of Pirates 1? Where, like, Jack Sparrow and... I don't remember Orlando Bloom's character's name.
Will Turner.
Will Turner, thank you. Are, like, fighting in the blacksmith thing or whatever.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of it, I think one of them knocks the other one out unconscious. I think Jack Sparrow knocks...
Yes. I think so, yeah.
And then he, like, wakes up later and he, like, you know, starts his adventure, if you will. So, right. it flashes back... into that, like, it was all the dream that he had while he was on.
That would be so good.
Awful.
Like, 5 movies worth of dream.
One of which he's not, like, even in, like, hardly at all. And then, obviously, like, Keira Knightley's character, like, doesn't even know who he is. He's just, fantasizing about her forever. You know? That's all in his head. That's M. Night Shyamalan's Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think the best part about this movie was that it resolved so many plot lines that if they never make another one, no one's going to care.
No one will care. But they probably will try.
Absolutely. It's making like hundreds of millions in China
I thought it was making not a lot of... No, I thought it wasn't making them.
I don't think it's doing that well over here, but the international market's eating it up.
Oh, yeah?
So, like, it makes so much money that...
They
make
don't
sense
even care. It's like America's past Pirates, but China, they love Johnny Depp still or whatever, right?
Yep. I mean, China's like sustaining all of these summer blockbusters.
They're really
eating it up like they've never seen them before.
I mean, they're getting ones that they've. I mean, they're getting a bunch of movies they've never gotten before, right?
Officially, I'm sure they've had them on the back channels.
So it's like
now they're getting them officially in theaters.
It's like a big event for them, you know, like. They're catching up to all the blockbusters we've had, and they're like, yeah, I want to be a part of that, so...
Yep.
I think it is a little inflated.
They are sustaining Hollywood.
I think it is a little inflated. Like, I think they're going to go down once they, like, start, you know, realizing, like, okay, these movies aren't super good. Like, we'll only go to the really good ones, but, yeah, it's crazy.
I think they're a lot better than a lot of the Chinese movies, though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know. Like, I've never seen...
Even the most recent Pirates. I haven't seen that many Chinese movies where.
I mean, Hollywood's just renowned around the world for its quality and just production values for these movies. So, like, international audiences love them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, you can't compete with that level of production quality
really
that Hollywood
can't.
has.
It'll just be interesting to see how much the U.S. Hollywood, like, reacts to the presence of the Chinese box office, because, like, they might start making movies just for the Chinese box office.
I mean, in Age of Ultron, they shoehorned a famous Korean actress into that movie just so the movie would do well in Korea, right? They can put her on the poster because she's famous over there. So they're already, like, shoehorning stuff into the movies strictly to appeal to an Asian market.
We'll just have to see where this goes, because I'm really interested to see how nuts it'll get. Speaking of nuts, so...
I like that segue.
So I have a good weird news story for y'all today. I have a really good one. So in Birmingham, Alabama, a police officer was just having his normal lunch at his local Arby's. You know, one of our favorite restaurants here on the Time Bell Show.
Speaking of which, I ate there a couple weeks ago in your honor.
Oh, really? We should talk about Arby's real quick before I get into this news story, then.
I'm so sorry you had to eat there.
Because Bats went to Arby's. Didn't we talk about this last show?
You talked about it last episode, where you had the gyros instead of the beef and cheddar.
Which is
like
a really weird choice for your first visit to Arby's, but I'm not going to judge.
I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have a guide.
Gia, what did you do for Arby's?
I got beef and cheddar, curly fries, and Diet Dr. Pepper.
That's exactly what you do. See, Bats, this is how you learn. Everyone gets the beef and cheddar. Everyone in the world, okay? No one goes to Arby's and gets a Euro. Like, nobody.
The guy before me ordered Euros.
Well, the guy before you was wrong, okay? The guy before you didn't know what he was doing, okay?
He seemed like he did.
He didn't know what he was doing. Maybe he, like, really likes a Euro. Like, he's like, it's his favorite thing. And he, like, has to eat it every day or something. But he's wrong. Have I ever told y'all about the story that I went to an Arby's? And I got an order of curly fries, and the guy behind, like, I was in line, and I got an order of curly fries, and they gave me, you know, my plate with curly fries and my beef and cheddar, and I walk by one of the guys in the line, and he looks down at my tray, and he's like, he points to the fries, and he's like, what are those?
What?
And I'm like, they're fries, and he's like, what? And I'm like, they're fries, and he's like, what are they? I'm like, they're French fries, and he's like, oh, okay, and then he just, like, looks straight forward, and then I walk by.
Was he a vampire?
I don't know. He didn't know what the French fries were at Arby's. He was really confused.
I don't know about you guys, but if I see something I don't recognize, like, I'm embarrassed to say I don't recognize it, right? Like, if I'm out in public and people are eating something, I have no idea what it is. Like,
but they seem to know what it is. Yeah.
Like, I'm afraid to admit I don't know what it is.
He had the chutzpah or whatever to just be like, what is this weird thing you're eating? And I'm like, they're French fries. Maybe he was confused by the curliness. That's the only thing I can think of.
But curly fries aren't uncommon.
He's in Arby's.
I know he's in Arby's. I don't know. I don't have any answer for you guys.
Like, aren't curly fries on all of their promotional material?
Yeah, it's like in every commercial. They're famous for them.
But just, like, even in the signs in the restaurant. Like, anytime, like, for a combo, like, there's a picture of curly fries there.
I know. He was confused, very confused. I don't know. I've had a lot of good stories from Arby's. Another time, I think this might have been the same visit.
You go to Arby's way too much if you have
I don't anymore, but I used to work from home and I used to live right next to, I do live right next to Arby's. So I'd go all the time because I didn't have a whole lot of lunch places right next to my house. So I'd be like, well, I guess I'm doing Arby's again. anyway, another time I was going to Arby's, I was walking into the Arby's. And you know how, like, fast food restaurants typically have, like, they'll have, like, the restaurant and then the foundation of the restaurant, they'll usually have, like, rocks and shrubbery and stuff to kind of have the facade of, like, oh, this is a lawn, but it's not really. It's just, like, a facade. It's some rocks and shrubs. So an old couple was walking out of the Arby's, and the woman of the old couple goes down to the rocks and picks one up and brings it up and shows it to her husband. Her husband nods, and then she puts it in her purse and walks away. As if to say, is this a good rock? And her husband's like, yeah. And then they leave.
Yeah, that's the good one.
and then I go into Arby's, as I do, and I eat a sandwich, and I think about this exchange for, like, 30 minutes.
Oh, bless her heart, and bless her husband's heart for understanding.
Yeah, they knew. maybe they needed a new rock for their rock garden or something. I don't know.
So they picked up one single.
Just one. Like, and it was like a little, it was like a small pebble. It was bigger than a pebble, you know, but it wasn't like a... a full-size giant rock, you know.
Would you have described this rock as a good rock?
Yeah, I would think it was a pretty good rock.
Pretty good.
I think, I mean, if I was a person, if I was a crazy rock lady that had to pick a rock from our piece, I'd probably choose that one, you know. I think she picked well.
I mean, you're not criticizing her choice.
No, I'm just criticizing, you know, why are you doing this at Arby's? Like, there's literally, like, there was, like, go ahead.
Did they look over at you or at all?
Like, no, they did not even notice me.
Didn't acknowledge you.
They did not acknowledge me at all. She just picked up the rock,
shame.
Showed it to her husband, and her husband nods. The weird thing is there's, like, a hardware store, like, right across the street. You can get all the rocks you want over there for your
car. But you can't pick out, like, a nice, I'm assuming it was a nice, smooth rock, right?
I mean,
like,
it wasn't jagged. Yeah, it was a nice rock.
See?
It was pretty nice.
If you buy rocks at a hardware store, I assume they're all rough and coarse and,
I mean,
and not
maybe.
Appealing.
I mean, I think you get them in like a big bag and you don't really know what you're getting. It's kind of
right. Yeah, those are farm raised. She wanted free range.
She wanted free range rocks. Yeah. So another thing that occurred to me while I was eating was like, did they come to this Arby's just to have an excuse to like grab a rock on their way out? You know?
No way.
I don't know.
No way.
It's just weird.
Hey, you know, there might be a rock gathering community, and they have, like, a map, and they put, like, the best locations
to
get rocks
on the
map.
Like, pins, like, the Arby's has great rocks.
Yeah.
They have an app? Like, an app that they all used, and, like, point out where all the good rocks are?
It'd be, like,
that might be an untapped market.
It'd be, like, Rock Hound, but, like, no O, or no, yeah, no O-U. It's just, like, Rock Hound, you know?
That'd be
the name of the app.
And the logo is like a magnifying glass with a rock under it or something?
Yeah, exactly. Rockhound. Rockhound. That's it. That would be it. Yeah. I think the people that were there probably got excited about the Rockhound thing. Anyway, I totally got off track because I was going to tell you
super
this story. At Arby's. So a cop was eating his lunch at Arby's like he normally does in Birmingham, Alabama. He had a beef and cheddar sandwich, and he noticed something weird in it, and there was a bolt in his beef and cheddar sandwich. Like a bolt, like a hardware store, like bolt. Like nuts and bolts. And it wasn't like a small bolt. It was like a big, like it was the size of like half your index finger.
That has to be intentional. That or the shelving on top of the where they prepare it was
just fell into
old.
the beef and cheddar mix, and they're like, whatever.
You would totally know.
I don't know how you can get that into the sandwich. That's very.
I mean, I worked in fast food for a year.
Have you ever seen a bolt in a sandwich though?
and I for my last like 2-3 months is when I was actually it was a Dairy Queen, so I was doing ice cream when I first started. But the last 2-3 months they had me making burgers and stuff. There is no way on earth I would not have noticed a burger
with like a bolt or like a screw
0%
or something.
Chance.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I might forget to put ketchup on, or I might forget to nuke it for 20 seconds to melt the cheese.
Sure.
But
you're remembering you would see the bolt.
I would 100% see the bolt.
So maybe this is
no
a police officer, right? So maybe he ordered from someone, and someone in the back was like, this cop, like, maybe he like arrested him one point or pulled him over for speeding. He's like, I'm going to get this guy back. I'm going to put this bolt. It was like on the floor in his sandwich or whatever.
So here's another thing. They microwave the meat at Arby's. I know because I watched him do it. If you microwave a bolt, that's going to screw up your microwave.
It would like zap. You're right. Yeah. You're totally right. Yeah, your microwave would go like bzz, 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 and then break. Yep. So, like, they would notice the bolt there and be like, damn, what's going on with the sandwich? And they'd be like, it's fine. It's par for the course.
Okay, but now that we know it's likely intentional, how on earth did they think they were going to get away with it?
Well,
like, it wasn't drive-through.
It looks like they did get away with it because nobody knows who put the bolt in there. It's just that there was a bolt in there. So, like, the person got away with it, but obviously the Arby's didn't overall.
Yeah,
someone
so maybe
got fired
maybe
from
they
that.
Yeah, probably. So maybe someone had just had a really bad grudge about this cop.
I guess so.
I have a weird thought now. Like after reading this story and looking at the picture, even though there's a bolt in this Arby's sandwich, I kind of want Arby's.
Like, dang, that looks like a good sandwich.
Is that bad? Do I? Is that like a sign?
Yeah, that's bad.
That I have something wrong with me.
That is next level marketing.
the new Arby's bolted roast beef sandwich? They could use, like, I'm imagining kind of a campaign similar to, like, how Ford or Chevy do their stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, really rough and tumble kind of stuff. And, like, you know how, like, in, like, the Chevy or Ford commercials, I don't remember which, the logo is, like, bolted onto the screen at the end? It's, like, Ford, and it's, like, bah, 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 you know? That would be, like, the new Arby's, like, strategy, like, marketing campaign. And they have, like, the bolted roast beef sandwich and maybe, like, the screwy,
Needs Euro. Bolts to contain the flavor.
The screwy Euro wrap or something. I don't know. You could get a lot of mileage out of that, I feel like. Okay, do you guys want to get into some Reddit now? After we talked for like 30 minutes about Arby's.
Yeah. I'm ready, if you are.
You guys are ready? Okay. Bats, you want to take it away? You have like a million questions, I feel like, today.
Yeah, and I've got a good one to start with. So
what is it?
You are turned into a wild animal. Mm-hmm. If you survive for 2 years without dying or being captured, and you can't be a pet, you make $10 billion. What animal do you choose?
This sounds like a Philip K. Dick short story.
This would be a really good Philip K. Dick short story.
What animal do I choose?
Any animal. And for how long?
You have to survive for 2 years without dying or being captured.
My first thought is like a bear, but like the problem with that is someone might like hunt me, you know?
My first thought was an insect that could like hide or burrow, but they don't live 2 years.
No, they don't live very long.
That's true.
Ooh. What if you were like a cicada? Like, aren't they like underground for like 10 years and then they like come up or whatever?
Hmm.
I don't know. That might be like a loophole thing. What were you going to say, Bats?
I'm not sure. I was going to say, I mean, you can't really choose a big animal because they get poached frequently. And if you choose a small animal, they kind of die faster. So you kind of have to find a middle ground.
What about like a fox?
Foxes get hunted.
I think they get hunted really, really hard. But like they're cunning.
What about like a turtle?
Ooh, a turtle might be good. Turtles are poached for their eggs, I think, mostly. So
everything's poached. Stop poaching animals.
Yeah.
Man, I can't come up
like a tropical parrot. Those guys live to be human age.
Actually, yeah, they can live to something be like 80.
Something in like the rainforest or something, like not going to have a lot of human contact.
Right, and you can perch at the top of trees.
And you're kind of at the top of the food chain as a bird,
basically. Know, anyway. Yeah.
That's a good. That's probably the best one.
Like I think that's the like a parrot
or or a toucan or something like that. And they live a long time already. There you go.
Are we assuming we retain our human intelligence when we're the bird, or we just poof, we become that bird and hopefully we survive for 2 years?
I think it's like that.
So would you like remember? Okay, so after you turn back into the human, would you remember being a bird?
That would be horrible.
I'm assuming you turn back into a human at the end, right? Does the question specify?
It doesn't say, actually.
$2 billion, or $10 billion.
You're a $10 billion worth toucan, like a toucan with $10 billion. You'd probably just eat it or something as a toucan. You'd be like, thanks.
You care.
Turn it into a nest.
This is one of those, like, trick questions, like trick wishes, like the genie gives you or whatever.
Like
you don't turn back into a human at the end. Like it doesn't.
You should have read the fine print.
It's like, well, haha, you're a toucan forever. No, assuming you do turn back to a human, I would think you have the memories of being a toucan.
Ugh. And then you remember like eating bugs and.
Mm-hmm. It'd be fun. It'd be interesting to have an animal memory for a little while.
It would be cool. All
right, Bats, what else?
All right, next.
Got too philosophical there.
That's fine. That's what we do in this show.
What are flies plotting when they rub their hands together?
Oh, jeez.
I think they're trying to get crap off their hands is what they're actually doing, right? Isn't that what
the question says that they're plotting something, though, and we have to figure out what it is.
They are trying to see if they can find a human who is willing to recreate that teleportation device from the movie The Fly.
Oh, yeah.
So that they can become human.
So they could be half Jeff Goldblum.
Exactly.
Too. Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in a while.
That's a really good movie.
It has some really weird practical effects. Like, they're just really gross.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it a David Cronenberg movie?
I think so.
Yeah, it feels like it, because it had all, like, the rubber and goo special effects.
It's, like, really gross.
I miss that rubber and goo special effect.
Me too. I miss it so much. Because today it's all, like, clean and stuff.
It's CG, and I don't buy it.
Well, like they'll make a monster, and they're like, all right, how are we going to make this monster? And they're like, okay, make him smooth or whatever. And it'll be, like, smooth and, like, you know, glistening and shiny. And, like, in the 80s, it was all, like, gross, and it was,
They had, like, hair.
Like, it wasn't good to look at. It wasn't appealing in any way. But I feel like when they make a monster today, it's, like, kind of, like, it looks good, but it's, like, looks too good. Like, this is something that after seeing, like, it looks kind of cool, but, like, I don't want to feel that way about my monster. I would be like, that looks disgusting. You know, I want to be that. I don't know. It's weird. The 80s were an interesting time for movie.
For special effects.
It's so much easier to be grossed out from a practical effect.
It's like, true, because you can... Oh, go ahead.
I'll just... Even though you can kind of tell it's rubbery, it's still, it's real, it's physical, it's,
And they can real put, physical
like,
features.
They can put, like, goo in it and stuff, and, like, squeeze it, and it'll be like,
it can be, like, oily looking.
And then, like, the actor can, like, touch it, and you can, like, see their hand, like, go through the hairy blob thing that like, this thing is. Like, I have not really been grossed out by a movie in a while.
Not a CG anything, no.
Not really, no. Most of the, like, gore today is, like, real, like, not real gore, but, like, oh, this human with his arm cut off or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is gross, but, like...
It's not weird.
I don't want to watch... Yeah, it doesn't, like, give me nightmares, really. Like, the hairy blob monster of David Cronenberg movies does.
I mean, CG is getting better and better. How long till we get a CG monster that looks like a practical effect?
A CG David Cronenberg monster.
Right, but, like, a bad 80s practical effect. Not, like, real.
Like, we go, like, full circle.
On purpose. CG, but looks bad 80s.
I can see that happening so much, though. Like, they'll sell the movie, like, and our CG looks like it's from the 80s. And, like, everyone will be like, oh, why didn't you just make it practical then? Like, don't be stupid. And they're like, well, we wanted to make it CG. It's like, you know, video games are being, like, retro now because that's cool. It's, like, the same kind of thing. Like, they're using technology to, like, make it look older when they could just use, I don't know. It's silly. Whatever. It's fine. But yeah, one day it'll be like super CG and it'll look like it's made of plastic or whatever. You know?
And like, I can only hope.
Rubber and hair and real human hair and all that stuff. Be a good day. Alright, Bats, what else you got?
Alright. How about, what's your most embarrassing I thought I was alone moment?
Oh god. Well,
I have a good one that I saw recently that wasn't, I mean, it wasn't me, or maybe it was, I don't know, I'm not going to say.
Go ahead, no, go ahead.
So, I was in the post office, and there was, you know how they have the P.O. boxes on the side?
Yeah.
Where people have the keys, and they can open up the box?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a man who had his box open, and he had stuck his head in the box, and he was saying, hello, anybody in there? Like, I think he thought that there was a man behind there that puts the letters in.
I mean, no, they do, but didn't. He probably wasn't there.
No, there's definitely no back to those
things. There's no man. No. What box is this, though? Like, where is this box?
It's a P.O. box in a post office.
The ones I've been to, like, the backs come off, and that's how they load it from the other end, but maybe that one didn't have one.
No, this one I don't think had a back, but he was he was talking in there.
Oh man!
Huh. Hello. And we exchanged eye contact, and he was embarrassed, and kept walking.
See, I would have I always like whenever I get embarrassed, I like rub it off, like I brush it off. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally did that on purpose. You know, I wouldn't say that, but I was like. I'd be like, oh, ha, 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 would you like my joke or something if I saw someone?
Yeah, I would have stuck my head back in there and gone, echo, echo, echo.
And then, like, look back at the person watching and you wink. And, like, yeah, exactly, wink at them, like, ha, ha, just having a laugh, you know? Yeah. I had a weird, well, it wasn't weird, I had an embarrassing thing happen to me at work this week. Like, I was Like, whenever I'm, like, in the bathroom, I'll, like, make faces in the mirror when I'm washing my hands because I do that all the time. So I did that. Like, I didn't think anyone was in there. And someone, like, came out of the stall and saw me do that. And I was like, all right. And I just walked away. That was fine. And I think sometimes I'll, like make quiet noises, too. Like, not loud, but, like, you know. You know, if you make faces, sometimes you have to make a noise to go with the face. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think I did that a little bit as well. So, luckily, this person doesn't work, like, with me, so they don't really know who I am. So that's fine. But it was a little embarrassing. But, yeah, maybe I'll just be the noise guy. I feel like everyone does that, though. Yeah, everyone does that, right? Right, guys? Yeah. Right?
Sometimes.
Good. It's not just me.
So, if I'm playing a video game and I'm really, really into it, I make weird faces while I'm playing. Mm-hmm. I don't think everybody does this, but I do. And I've made some impressions at parties and stuff just because I'm the person making weird faces and people look at me like, are you okay?
Playing the game?
Yeah.
I'll, like, stick my tongue out, like, if I'm...
Yeah, I'll stick my tongue out, like, to the side and make weird,
You look like one of those, like, posters from the 90s of, like, teenagers, like, playing video games, like, with their hat backwards. They're, like straddling the couch, and they're, like,
Tilting the controller down.
Yeah, tilting the controller, exactly.
Yeah, that's literally me when I play games.
That's you. That's what you look like.
Yes.
Okay, I have a question that we can do really quick. If animals could talk, which animal would be the rudest of all the animals? What do you guys think?
It's a tough one. It's super tough.
I know. Birds.
Yeah, probably birds. Like pigeons or something like that, right?
Like parrots.
It's got to be like a rodent, right? Like a squirrel or something?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, squirrels too.
Squirrels are like rude.
They're rude in real life, right?
Like in real life, they're rude. Have you ever been driving and there's a squirrel in the middle of the road and he like knows you're coming and he's like, I'm not moving. Like every you're gonna have to go time. Around me. And then like you keep going, you're like, he'll move, and then he just doesn't move. And he like he's fully aware of what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like he's just, like that squirrel is just messing with you. He's being a dick, basically.
He's an inconsiderate squirrel.
He is. So he'd probably be rude.
Have you ever seen squirrels mess with dogs?
No.
I've seen videos of it, yeah.
Yeah, they mess with dogs and other animals.
I imagine squirrels have like a New York accent.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what are you doing? Or something, I don't know.
Well, just with how much they like go into bird feeders and steal bird seed. Like, they're selfish animals, so they've gotta be rude, right?
They're probably
like, they only care about themselves.
Yeah, they're really rude.
And you know, squirrels, they don't just take enough food so that they're full. Right. They'll actually take all the food and bury it in different locations just so no one else can have it.
Yep.
Bunch of assholes. It's terrible.
Yeah, I can't think of anything worse than a squirrel now that I think about it.
All right, what do you got, Bats? You said you have more.
What is today's snake oil? What do people sell which has no measurable benefit?
That's a good question.
Video games.
No, video games are awesome.
I mean, they don't have a use, though, right? Like, there's no...
Yeah, they do. They're entertaining.
Mean, yeah, that's true of a lot of things. What is, like, a thing that doesn't actually do anything?
Cosmetic DLC for video games.
That's also true, yes. For sure.
No, I know. I'm being facetious.
I can think of things that actually do nothing that people buy, though. Like
what?
Pretty much anything that connects to the internet that isn't a computer.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, yeah.
I mean, there's like, actual, like, holistic medicine, which is basically what snake oil is derived from.
So you got the snake oil of the future, which is holistic medicine. And then you got, like, the 2.0, which is, like, your plunger that's connected to your Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Like a smart refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That keeps track of expiration dates for you and keeps a shopping list.
I mean, that would be kind of useful, though, right?
Would it? You have to scan every barcode in your refrigerator with your phone.
If you assumed that it could figure it out somehow on its own, it'd be useful.
Most of the stuff at CES is like, we're coming up with new technology just because we need to have something new to show
for
this
CES,
year.
Yeah. It's like we
don't actually have a use case for this. We just we need something new, and this is all we could come up with in the last 12 months.
I saw a coaster that was connected to the internet.
No.
Like, it would like text you when your drink was low or something like that.
Yeah, because you couldn't see it with your eyes.
Actually, those coasters have a use, and they're good for restaurants, so that the waiter knows when to come by and refill your drink.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Maybe or he could just be a good server and use his eyeballs.
Don't be ridiculous.
some beer bottles are opaque. It's hard to tell.
Don't be ridiculous. You're not allowed to be good at things anymore. You have to use technology.
There's solutions to problems that don't exist. Yes. Like,
if it can make my waiter more efficient, I'll let it pass.
All right,
but,
fair enough.
But you're right.
Fair enough. There was like I saw there's a lot of like beverage ones. I feel like people are trying to get on the like, ooh, it's like a web connected alcohol thing. Like there's like a wine opener that was like connected to the internet. I remember that.
It lets you know like how many bottles you drank or something.
But like not only that, like it like put it, you could put it on back on top of the wine to like seal it. And I think it would like tell you the internal temperature or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay, like how long it had been.
So it seems like okay, this is kind of useful, but it was also like $200. So it's like it's not that useful.
Find out how much money they made on Kickstarter.
Right. Did you guys see that water bottle on Kickstarter that
what
refills? Oh, did you see that, Gio?
No, I can only imagine.
So there's this water bottle on Kickstarter, and they funded. They got like $500,000. But basically, it's supposed to use the moisture in the air to fill your water bottle back up, which in theory is like a really good idea. But the problem with that is like there's not enough moisture in the air ever to like fill an entire water bottle efficiently. And the other thing is, like, it takes a lot of energy to do that.
Yeah.
But their initial pitch was, like, it would do it automatically using, like, solar energy and stuff like that, you know? Or, like, if you, like, ran with it or, like, biked with it, like, it would use the motion to, like collect the moisture or whatever.
I'm imagining this water bottle has, like, an umbrella attachment with solar panels on it.
No, they had like a little pad that you like plugged in via a USB port you laid it out.
Gosh, don't put USB ports on a water bottle.
Yes, they did. They did do that. But anyway, this is their original concept, but like it's like a year or a year and a half later and they're like, yeah, we're still figuring out like how it works and like they obviously have no idea how to make this actually work the way they wanted it to because...
That's why like, Kickstarter requires like working prototypes now, right? Because of stuff like that. There was that... The laser beam razor blade, right? That was supposed to shave your face with lasers?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
And so that was their pitch. And of course they couldn't figure out how to make that work, but they pitched it.
How would that even work?
That would never work.
Exactly. But that's they pitched like Star it Wars and they got shit. Millions of dollars, and then they were like, oops, we can't figure this out. Sorry. And so from then, like, Kickstarter required people to have working prototypes.
Okay, hold on. Can we talk about the laser beam razor blade thing for a second?
Yeah, I think we should.
Isn't that basically like a lightsaber, right?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, if we can't make a lightsaber, how do they expect to make a razor blade that can do it?
So it was supposed to, like, you know how I think there's, like, hair removal surgery that you can get for, like, your leg hair or whatever.
Yeah, laser hair removal.
It's supposed to be based off that laser just in a compact, like, at-home kit.
Okay, so that laser is really powerful and would seriously injure you if you used it.
But they cited that as like, see, this works. It's been done before. We're just, you know, making it more compact and selling it to you, and you can use it at home.
They probably make
you need to be a medical doctor to use that machine.
A Kickstarter like projects, like people will pay for anything if it sounds cool. It's like, yeah, I'll invest in that thing, or not invest. I'll buy that thing that'll never come out.
Right.
Yeah. Oh man.
And so that was basically the catalyst for why Kickstarter required working prototypes before you could create
a laser shaver. I think the water bottle had a working prototype. It just wasn't a very good one. So it was like a lot less efficient than the final product would be, but like obviously they're not going
to that's what they all promise, right?
Like, they're not going to get what they it's garbage. Yeah, they're not going to get what they originally pitched because the laws of physics don't allow for it basically. So I don't know. All right, Bats, you want to do a couple more and then we can get into trivia?
Yeah, I've got a quick one real quick.
All right, let's we have time for probably two if you want to do that.
Okay, but yeah, so this one will be a quick one, but it's a good one. So what movie scene is forever tied to a song so that you cannot hear that song without picturing the scene?
That is a good one.
All right, so what immediately comes to mind for me?
I know what you're going to pick. Is you're going to pick a Quentin Tarantino movie, aren't you?
No. Oh, you're not? Even better.
Okay, what is it then?
So, in Armageddon...
Oh my goodness.
There's a song.
That song was written for the movie, though. That's not really fair.
I can't choose that one?
No, you can.
You can. I don't want to close my eyes.
Song.
It is... You're not wrong. I mean, it was written for the movie. Do you remember that music video? It was like Liv Tyler and like... looking on the screen, like, where Bruce Willis' face was supposed to be, and instead it was, like, Steven Tyler, because he was singing it.
I've never seen that music
video. Liv Tyler is Steven Tyler's daughter, right? You know that, right? So, like, she's in Armageddon, and the song plays in the movie when she's, like, crying that Bruce Willis is gonna die, and he's on the other end of the camera so she can, like, see him, and she, like, puts her hand on the screen and, like, touches his, like, the monitor, like, you know, where his face is or whatever. So, like, the music video of that is the exact same scene, but instead of Bruce Willis's face, it's Steven Tyler's face.
And that's weird.
It's cool because they're father and daughter in real life. So
and
it's then, like,
yeah,
whoa.
Movie, father and daughter, yeah. So,
but like, is he like singing on the asteroid?
Yeah.
God, I hope so. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
All right,
I think the whole band is on the asteroid in the song. You know. I can't believe you don't know this, Bats. Like, you chose this, you brought this up, and you don't know the music
video. I didn't know they made a music video.
Of course they did.
Of course, it was the 90s. What do you expect? You can't not make a music video in the 90s.
So, speaking of this topic, but sort of the opposite, you know, the Smash Mouth song All Star.
Yeah.
Everybody associates that with Shrek.
Yeah.
So, I found out the other day the music video for All Star is actually for the movie Mystery Men.
Oh my god, I remember that movie. Yes, I do.
I had no idea that was a music video for a movie, much less Mystery Men.
Really? I didn't realize that. Was this song written for the movie? It wasn't.
It seems like it.
It was just like a tie-in.
It seems like it, and then it just got reused for Shrek, you know, a year or two later.
Bats,
yeah,
did you ever see Did you ever see
Mystery Men? I've never seen Mystery Men.
It's bad.
It was bad. I think it's better now that we, like, have superhero movie tropes everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of a subversion of all those tropes. So it kind of works better now than it did back in the 90s.
Ben Stiller is in that, right? He's, like, the main guy.
Yes, he's the main guy. He's just, like, an edgy... Dude,
it's like a bowling ball guy, right? Or is that a different guy?
That's Janine Garofalo, and like her dad's skull is in a bowling ball, and so it gives her like
I did see this movie.
Yeah, you saw it, and then
I
immediately
the
forgot
ball
it.
There's
really
the bowl,
bad.
And the other thing everybody remembers is the kid who turns invisible, but only when no one's looking at him.
Oh yeah. And then,
what I really remember, though, is the sentient bowling ball skull.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could, like, fly around. It was, like, telekinetic or whatever.
Yeah.
And William H. Macy was in it. He was, like, a construction worker superhero.
Yep. Yeah. And Hank Azaria, right?
Oh, which, yeah,
he does the voice of Mo. He was, like, a dude who threw spoons
at people. Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, and Pee-wee. Pee-wee was in there, and he was just gross and farted, I think.
Yeah. They had a lot of stars in this movie.
90s stars. That movie is 90s so 90s. Stars. It's not even
Ben
funny.
Stiller is the only person that's still famous, basically. Yeah, that whole,
mostly. Well, sure, mostly I'll give you that.
Yeah. I think they were really expecting that to get knocked out of the park, and it just didn't work. They're like, this movie's going to be great. Everyone's going to love this. Ben Stiller's in it. The voice of some of the Simpsons characters in it.
Yeah.
Janine Garofalo's in it. She's big in the 90s, you know. They're like, we're going to knock this out of the park. And then just like, no, it's bad. Real bad.
Just back to the topic. Like, I was thinking of movies and Shrek and All Star, but
yeah, that makes sense. I don't think I have any specific ones. I mean, there's a lot.
What about Starship Troopers?
What about Starship Troopers?
They had a song by Yes at the end.
Did they?
I think you liked that scene.
No, they don't have a song. That's not in Starship Troopers. They do. They do like a. I don't remember. I don't think so. I would know if that. I've seen Starship Troopers a bunch of times.
I thought I remembered that for some reason.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I got nothing. There's a lot of right. Quentin Tarantino movies have songs in them, though. Like yeah. Like that one like surf song. I forget what it's called. During the scene in Pulp Fiction. Everybody mm-hmm. knows what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The surf song in Kill Bill, too.
Every time I hear that song, I think of, oh, that's that Quentin Tarantino movie.
Or speaking of the Alamo theaters from earlier, at the beginning of all of the movies, they do the Now for Our Feature presentation thing that they did for Kill Bill. It's that same song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which gets stuck in my head every single time I go to the theater.
Kill Bill ruined that song. So every time I go to Alamo, I just think of Kill Bill now.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, I'll leave the theater, and then I'll have that song stuck in my head, and I'll be like, where's that song from? And then I won't remember it until I go to the Alamo again. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's that song from Kill Bill, you know?
And what's weird about Tarantino movies is he's basically ripping those songs off from, like, old 70s pulp movies and TV shows and stuff. Right, like pulp action
movies and stuff.
So he's ripping them off from what he associates them with, and now we just associate them with his movies.
It's weird how that works. It's, like, circular.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. One thing I like about Tarantino that he does is he never uses real product names in his movies. Yeah. He always makes something up, like Big Kahuna Burger has been in a few of his movies.
It's like the Tarantino-verse.
You gotta respect
really like that he does that.
Do you think he has his own? Do you think he has his own universe in his head of like where all the movies take place?
Absolutely. I bet he does.
If he doesn't, like, I'll be super place disappointed.
In the Tarantino verse or whatever.
Yeah,
they have to. Come on.
The problem with that is then like, so Kill Bill would exist in the same universe as Pulp Fiction, which would exist in the same universe as like, Django, which would exist in the same universe of like all the terrible like pulp ones. I mean, the intentionally terrible ones. I forget what they're called.
I mean, I guess they sort of could be all the same bizarro universe. Because I mean, Django could just be a historical piece in that weird universe.
None of them mean their stories are so like on a local level. Like nothing's on a global scope.
That's true. Like, it's not like for the fate of the universe or anything. One. That's true. That's true. Like, I'm trying to think of that. The vampire one.
Dusk Before Dawn.
Yeah, like
Dusk Until Dawn, yeah.
That being in the same universe as Django or,
I don't think that was Robert Rodriguez,
though.
Yeah,
right?
He wrote that. He just wrote that. Robert Rodriguez.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be.
I don't think that's in the Tarantino verse.
That's not in the Tarantino verse.
I don't think so.
Maybe. Okay, I'm sorry. I was using a loose definition of it.
You know what? Maybe it's a movie within the Tarantino-verse.
Oh!
Super meta.
That's real good. I like that a lot. That sounds like a movie that would be in the Tarantino-verse that could exist.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the characters in Pulp Fiction would watch that movie.
Yep. I bet they've seen it. Yeah.
They've seen it a lot. They probably can quote it.
So it's weird that Tarantino is a character in that movie when he created the Tarantino-verse.
I mean, Tarantino-verse has the same actors reprising different roles constantly. Like
that's true.
You just have to assume they just kind of look similar.
A lot of people look alike.
Yeah,
that's true.
But Quentin Tarantino is an actor in From Dusk Till Dawn, so that might
be... That's some Inception stuff. Yeah. He's like the messiah.
Of the Tarantino-verse, that's very confusing. Yeah. That's fine, though. I feel like he wrote a few others that are not... He didn't direct that you could have as movies. Probably all, like, the ones... I feel like he wrote one for, like, Robert Rodriguez, too. Like, another one. Like,
they
that
did the,
Planet Terror or whatever.
Yeah. Or,
that would be a movie in the Tarantino-verse, too. Like, they would watch that. You know?
Or Death Race, I think it was.
I don't remember. One of those.
He did one of the two. I can't remember which one.
I can't remember which one either. All right, Pats, do you have one more question that we can jump into?
Let's do one more. If it wasn't frowned upon to give your child a name outside of the social norm, what would you give them?
Oh, man, that's a tough question.
Oof. Like, the problem is, like, even if it wasn't frowned upon, I don't think I would want to.
Let's
assume I want to give him a really bad, not normal name.
Yeah, let's assume that.
I've never had to think about that, so...
I would name my son Arby's, if it was...
Hey there, Arby.
No, Arby's.
Hey there, Arby's. It's plural, though.
It doesn't matter.
Possessive. apostrophe S in his name.
In their Arby's? I don't think anyone's
so if you're talking about your son's sandwich, is it Arby's' sandwich?
Arby's is Arby's. Yes, that's how it goes.
I think that's perfect.
I can't top that.
You could call him Arbs, like for short. Like, hey, Arbs. Oh, that's good. What would yours be, Bets?
I can't think of one. Not one that's
the good. Yeah, I can't top that. I'm sorry.
Can't top Arby's? All right. You guys want to do trivia now?
Let's do it.
Since we talked about Arby's, like, for most of the show. Gio, you're going to do trivia today.
Sweet.
Because you're the guest.
I love trivia.
I have some really good questions for you today.
Looking first of all, though,
you have your lifeline picks. We have 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, 50-50, Monty Hall, Phone a Friend, which you can just ask me, or you can ask whoever you want, and Rhyme Time. Those are your options for lifelines. You can pick three of them.
I will do... I'll shake Choose it rhyme up. Time. Let's do 30-second Yahoo. I've never done Yahoo. You said yes, I should choose Rhyme Time?
Yeah, do it.
All right, I'll do Rhyme Time, and then I'll pick the cheapest one of them all, the Monty Hall. All
right,
Monty Hall. That's too powerful, Monty Hall.
This is like the play-to-win strategy.
Yeah, I feel like you have to pick like some other...
Okay.
I'll let you.
No.
Maybe instead of Rhyme Time...
You've changed my mind. I'm not playing the win.
Instead of Rhyme Time, do Phone Friend. And then you won't. Rhyme Time is a good
We'll do Rhyme Time.
Okay.
But I'll switch my Monty Hall to Phone a Friend.
Alright. I feel like that's a little fairer.
And, wait. Can I, for Phone a Friend,
yes.
Can I tweet it?
Yes, you can absolutely
tweet it. And can you give me, like, a minute to check replies?
Yeah, I can do that.
Is that fair?
You can do tweet, and you can also ask Bats like at the same time, and then you could just use whichever answer you like the best.
Okay, I'll just reply on Twitter. Live.
All right. Yes,
you can ask Bats, but he can only reply on Twitter.
Okay. Let me pull up Twitter just to get it ready. So my phone a friend will be, I will tweet the question, no context, and I will pick one of the first... couple answers if I get
hope you
more
have,
than one.
I hope you have a lot of followers, Gio. You better have some active followers.
I do, but who knows if they'll answer, you know?
If they'll answer, yeah, it's true. It'll be random. All right, are you ready for your questions?
Sure.
Okay, the first one's going to be an easy one. Which is not one of the four houses at the Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry? Is it Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenwood or Hufflepuff?
This is so easy.
Yeah, this is easy.
This is too easy. Can you on the fly dial it up a notch? Or is that asking too much?
I can totally. You mean get a random question? Yeah, I can totally do that.
Something. Because, I mean, the answer is it's not Ravenwood, but I feel
didn't
like...
Know how, see, I wrote this question before you talked about Harry Potter, and then I was like, oh, he's seen all the Harry Potter movies.
I've seen them all. I've read them all.
Now.
I've had my fandom questioned on Twitter recently.
Your fandom was questioned on Twitter?
Yeah, I was told that I only like Harry Potter because I've been told to like Harry Potter, not because I've read them all.
That's yikes.
Okay.
Stupid.
All right.
Who said that? Well, don't call him out. Just a stupid person.
It's Twitter, fine. Man. It's Twitter.
It's Twitter. All right.
What would make someone say something like that?
I don't know that I want to get into it, but it was
okay.
Ridiculous.
Sorry.
All right. I have one. Hold on. No, I don't.
All right.
Yes, I do have one.
All right.
Oh, this is really hard. Good luck. All right. What are the names of the three fairies in the Disney classic Sleeping Beauty?
Oh, jeez.
Is it A, Rose, Daisy, and Meredith? Is it B, Flora, Fauna, and Merriweather? Is it C, Gertrude, Matilda, and Bonnie? Or is it D... Hold on. I'm scrolling. Jonah, Lewis, and Penelope.
Oh my goodness. I should know this. I've played the Kingdom Hearts games and they're in that too. So I should double know this. All of those sound wrong.
Okay. Well, what are you leaning towards? You have
What was Daisy, option C again?
C was Meredith, Penelope, and Fiona. And then B was Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether. No. And A was Meredith. Or no, sorry. A was Daisy, Rose, and Marigold.
Oh.
See, they all sound right to me.
They all sound right and wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm leaning between A and C.
What are you going to do?
This seems like it's easily searchable on Yahoo.
That's true. You could probably.
This seems like Rhyme Time would absolutely give it away.
Yeah, that's true. You could Rhyme Time it. It would be a good. It would be a good Rhyme Time one.
I feel like if I tweet it, that's basically like asking someone to Google it for me.
I would personally Rhyme Time this one because I think it's probably the best for Rhyme Time.
All right, I'll take your word for it. Let's Rhyme Time it.
Okay, the answer of the what are the three fairies in Sleeping Beauty rhymes with Bora, Bonna, and Harryweather.
I was going to say it sounded like this. I won't say it yet, because you still might get it wrong.
I basically just told you what it was.
What was option B again?
Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether. I wonder which one it is.
It could be C.
No. No. No.
I'm going to choose B, final answer.
Yeah, B is correct.
That was the one that I was sure was wrong.
Because, really? That's interesting.
Disney does plays on words like that sometimes.
The funny thing about D is, I don't know if you noticed, but they only had one. They only had option B, A, B, and C, so I just make up D.
I like how you were like, wait a second. Down.
And I forgot what it was like halfway through when you asked about it again, and I just made up some new names. It's funny you didn't call me out on that, but good work.
No, you were believable. That was good. Yeah.
All right, you ready for your next question?
Sure.
You used one lifeline. Okay. Which of these traditional five senses are dolphins believed not to possess? Is it A, taste, B, hearing, C, touch, or D, smell?
Ooh. I'm going to say it's not touch, but the other three are all theoretically possible. I guess they would have to hear, too, right?
I don't know. I can't say anything.
And then, like, I know sharks, like, quote-unquote, smell blood, but are they actually smelling? And that's sharks, not dolphins. This sounds like a good one to tweet.
This is a tweeter?
I think so, because I want to see what people say.
Okay.
So this will be my phone a friend on Twitter.
I'll give you... How long do you want?
How about until I get two replies or a minute, whichever happens first?
Okay, that's fair. I won't start timing you until you send the tweet.
Okay, so let me type the question real quick. Which of the five senses...
Which of the five senses... Which of the traditional five senses are the dolphins believed not to possess?
Are dolphins believed...
Not to possess.
Not to possess.
And it's taste, hearing, touch, or smell.
Taste, hearing, touch, smell.
What do you think, Bats? You're allowed to chime in since he's using phone a friend now.
All right, okay. I'm going to tweet it in 3, 2...
All right, I'm getting ready.
All right, it's a go. Bats, what do you think it is since you're...
So, I think they can touch...
You think they can touch? I would hope that.
They can touch. I think that they can hear... I'm just not sure about taste or smell.
I mean, what do they need to taste for, right? Like,
they eat a lot of gross crap.
I mean, I wouldn't want to taste if I was a dolphin mackerel or whatever.
The purpose of taste is to, like, keep you away from, like, super bitter food that might be poisonous.
There's not really any of that in the ocean.
And smelling helps you detect, like, where food is and if there's prey or predators. Oh, it's got to be taste or smell.
I'm thinking, yeah, either taste or smell. I would probably go with taste, though, and I'm tweeting it to you. Taste.
The answer is taste.
Got it.
Did you get any other replies yet, Gio?
I haven't. I'm about to hit a minute.
You are.
I got a like. Someone liked it.
Someone liked it. Does that count?
But they didn't.
Thanks, unhelpful person.
I'll give you 30
person.
More seconds for that like. You get 30 more seconds per like. No, I'm kidding. You don't really. That'd be funny, though, if that's how that worked. You could just build up likes.
All right. No one else has answered, so I'm going to have to go with taste. Final answer.
You're going with taste? Taste is incorrect.
Oh,
dang it.
The correct answer is smell, yeah. So that sucks for dolphins, I feel like.
Well,
they have to
we narrowed it down, but... Oh.
I would much prefer not to have to taste if I was eating raw fish all day.
Same.
I mean, they're both sort of related, right? To how you consume food and seek out food. And I guess smell is more universally appealing, more helpful.
That's true.
It can do more things. Taste, like if they don't have the risk of consuming poison or something, then maybe they don't need taste.
Well, but they have they don't have smell though. The correct answer was they don't have smell.
Oh, it's not smell. Yeah. Right. So I don't know.
You're confusing yourself.
I was thinking they could smell because I don't know how else they would find food, but I guess they're just really smart.
I mean, they use echolocation.
They use echolocation. Maybe that smells for them. Like they can get a mental image of the
smell.
The smell, like the particles or whatever, you know? Because smell is like, you know, you're breathing in some like particles and your nose is figuring out what that means.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're mammals, right? So they probably don't have the same smell techniques that a fish would have. And since they're mammals, they breathe air. And what do they need to breathe in the air that smells good?
They don't need to smell. Yeah. I bet fish don't smell either if it makes you feel any better.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I'm not a marine biologist. I just know that sharks can detect blood, and I assume that was a
smell.
That's
true. They do have a smell, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
They probably don't need a smell. There's not a lot of smells underwater, though. I mean, I don't know. My nose doesn't
probably
really
just
work underwater.
Salty constantly, so.
That's true. All right, are you ready for your final question?
Yes, and this one is the 30-second Yahoo.
Yeah, you have 30 seconds to do this one. All right. What fast food franchise has the most worldwide locations? Is it A, McDonald's, B, Subway, C, Taco Bell, or D, Arby's?
I am pretty sure I know this one, and I'm also pretty sure I know which one you made up.
Okay, what do you got?
You made up Arby's. Google. I'm going to lock it in without even Yahooing. The answer is Subway.
Really? Why do you say that?
It's random trivia that I already know that I've heard elsewhere.
Okay, it's fair enough. Do you want to Google or no? You're just going to go with that.
I'm going to be confident, and I'm going to say Subway. I'm going to lock it in.
Subway is correct. Instincts. You're right.
What?
I
didn't think
that
it was Subway.
I didn't. So that's why I remember it, is because you automatically assume it's McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And I heard it was Subway, and turns out I was right. And actually, I had this conversation on Memorial Day weekend with someone, and they didn't believe me, and they Googled it in front of me, and I proved them right.
Were you eating at Subway at the time?
I don't know what brought this up. I have no idea.
How does Subway have so many locations? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
I think they're bigger internationally.
McDonald's.
And like, you know, McDonald's serves beef, and some countries don't do the beef thing.
And Subway has like vegetarian options and stuff.
Tons. Yep.
I guess that makes sense.
It's easier for Subway because like they don't really cook anything, right? So you can just.
That's true. It's just cold cuts.
So
there's like 15 McDonald's for every Subway around here.
Yeah, and that's why you would think it's McDonald's, but I think just like internationally, it's Subway.
Do you guys think the Subways internationally have like a weird international menu?
Yeah, I bet it's not the
international. McDonald's have like different things, you know, in every country or whatever. I kind of want to go to an international Subway to see what it's like.
I heard a story from my boss about an international Pizza Hut, and apparently when he went in, it just wasn't even fast food. It was like a white tablecloth, super nice, fancy restaurant that didn't even like serve pizza, really.
Is it kind of like the Taco Bell in Demolition Man?
I don't think I've seen that, but probably.
Oh, man.
Oh, you haven't seen Demolition Man?
What?
Dude, you need to, okay, at the end of this podcast, you just need to stop what you're doing and watch Demolition Man, because this is a really good movie. You would love Demolition Man.
It's so dumb, because it's like, it's the 90s vision for what, like, 2030 would be like, mm-hmm. and yeah, they're so wrong on every level, and it's beautiful.
But it's so entertaining.
It's like, what if the world was, like, super heavily regulated, and therefore super peaceful? So somehow that transition happened over 30 years.
Somehow.
And then
in the next 10 years, we got there somehow. Yeah. I don't know how.
But so one of the gags in the movie is that all restaurants are now Taco Bell, because Taco Bell won the fast food war and then bought out all the other restaurants. Yeah. So every restaurant is a Taco Bell.
And even the really fancy. Yeah, the really fancy ones, yeah. Anyway, you need to watch Demolition Man. I can't believe you haven't seen that. It's your kind of movie.
That sounds like my kind of movie.
It's your kind of movie. It's so good. It has Sylvester Stallone in it, and he's like a big 90s action movie star. Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah. And Wesley Snipes is crazy in it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really good. It's really good. I'm glad we're kind of ending the show on the Demolition Man.
Absolutely. Speaking of Demolition Man, my uncle had a Demolition Man pinball machine in his basement.
Oh,
so
dude,
every time I went over, I got to play Demolition Man. And it's so cool.
Did they have the movie poster in the background of the pinball, like Wesley Snipes?
Yep. And like it was like constant Wesley Snipes quotes, and then
quips
like,
and stuff.
The plunger that you would pull back to pull the ball was actually just shaped like a gun, and so you pull the trigger on the gun. So dumb, so good.
Pinball machines are great. All right, Bats, you have one more question for us to answer before we wrap the show up.
What is your favorite elderly cartoon character from cartoons? That's a redundant question, but...
Cartoon character from cartoons. All right, I'm going to go right off the bat. I don't remember his name, but the old grandpa from Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, that's
Eustace,
good.
That was my answer, too.
Eustace, that's good. I was going to go Mr. Magoo, who's like takes a similar space.
Yeah. Eustace is meaner than Mr. Magoo. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, I love Eustace.
Eustace is me in about 50 years.
You're going to be Eustace?
Yes.
Are you going to like live in the middle of nowhere with like a dog?
Yes. I'm just going to mess with my dog all day.
You know what I never understand about that like dynamic? It's like Courage is really nice. And I don't remember his wife's name. It's like
Muriel.
Muriel. She's really nice. And Eustace is like a terrible old man. But I don't know why they like stay like they're living in the middle of nowhere. Why are you staying like I don't know. Why are you staying with Eustace? He's so mean.
It's kind of like neither of them realize that he's terrible too.
Like they're oblivious to him being terrible. Old man. I just don't get it. He never believes Courage either.
No.
Like no matter what.
Of course not.
Neither of them do. That was such a weird show.
That late 90s Cartoon Network nonsense shows were so great.
Yeah, they never believed Courage, and Muriel would always like be oblivious, and Eustace would just like be watching TV like the entire time. Like he'd get abducted by aliens and he'd be like watching TV while doing it. I remember there's one where they got abducted and like they like start scrubbing down like you know, they're like cleaning them in the shower or whatever, like Eustace and Muriel and Courage. And Eustace is, like, annoyed that he's, like, missing his favorite TV show or something like that. Like, he's completely doesn't care about the aliens. He's just, like, annoyed that he's missing, like, the news or whatever he does.
My fan theory about Courage the Cowardly Dog, which I've revealed on this show, but I haven't since, like, episode 2 or something, is that the show is actually from Courage's perspective, and it's really just normal life.
he's just dreaming a mentally disturbed
dog.
No.
It's like a dog would imagine stuff like aliens and vampires and monsters everywhere. Oh, like a super skittish
dog.
He's
a scared dog. Oh.
So it's really just like the plumber coming over to fix stuff, but he imagines it as a vampire.
He's like magnifying the world into like his perception. He's magnifying everything to be like terrible when it's
he's
not.
Just a scared little dog.
That's some good headcanon.
That is a really good fan theory. I feel like that'll be the next Cartoon Network revival. Like they did Samurai Jack, they'll revive Courage.
Oh, they should.
And then at the end, they'll just reveal it was all in his head. That's just like the cop-out for fiction. We'll have Pirates 6 or whatever with Orlando Bloom waking up, and then we'll have Courage, the reboot, with him waking up, just realizing it all was a dream or whatever. It's good stuff.
Oh, way to bring it full circle. Nice,
right?
Nice,
it's nice. Got to do it at the
end
of the episode.
That's good.
Okay, that has been Time at Show, episode number 36.
37.
Special guest, 37, sorry, damn it! Ah! Gio, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Again. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everyone. I've been Time Aces.
And I've been Bat Snacks.
And everyone have a good night.
All right, have a good night, everybody.
Good night.